Hey, greetings. This is Brother Jim at DontParish.com, John 4:24 Radio. Hey, we had a rainy day today after preaching all day yesterday. Got a chance to work on some online ministry. Want to talk to you today about something that came to mind after we were out street witnessing. I'm calling it the wedding guest, not dressed. The wedding guest, not dressed. You know, we preached outside of a false word of faith, new apostolic type reformation, unbiblical body. And I saw something that affected me. I want to talk about it today. I saw, as I preached on a peaceful public sidewalk, didn't bother anyone, holding gospel signs out in front of their building, all these worldly, carnal, even harlot-looking people that were claiming to be longtime believers and followers of Christ, even their leadership, they were walking past us, going in, to do worship of God per them, to go in and do one of their man-made worship services. And something struck me as I saw these people going by and how they were dressed and how they were acting. I thought of this parable. I want to read it to you. Matthew 22, 2 through 13. Jesus said, "And the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king, which made a marriage of his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. And again he sent other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard of this, he was wroth. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burnt up their city. Then he said to his servants, The wedding is ready. When they which were bidden were not worthy, go ye into the highways, and as many as you find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not a wedding garment. And he said unto him, Friend, how camest thou hither not having a wedding garment? He was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, take him away, cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, this story has a lot of deep meanings. I understand that. I get it. It's mostly about our need to be clothed in Christ and His righteousness. I get that. All right. Some people have suggested, as they try to explain this parable, that kings back then would offer special wedding garments to anyone that came to a wedding of theirs, and that this man was in rebellion and refused to wear that garment, didn't belong. So he was cast out. Now, we can't know all of that for sure. That's not what Scripture says. But what I was pondering, beyond our need for Christ, and I'm going to cover that, which is the main idea, I was wondering, could we also view it this way? Think of this. The Bible speaks of new life, being born again, and without it, you can't enter heaven. John 3:3, right? We know that Christ is the only way, so we need His perfect righteousness. Then we need new life via His Spirit. To be invited in and then go sit at the king's table, the kingdom of God, heaven, is what we're talking about. We cannot go just as we are. So we're tweaking this and we're looking at this a little deeper. We need Christ. We need His perfect righteousness. We also can't go just as we are. No, we need to be made new. We need to be transformed into a brand new creation. That includes everything about us from the inside to the outside, including our garments. Let's talk about garments, okay? Garments and clothing tell us a lot about who we are, don't they? Both our spiritual garment, the Bible talks about, and a physical garment or clothing. Now, like the man that some people say refuse to wear the king's garment. We don't have to know if that's true or not. If we keep sinning and we refuse to transform our life and obey all of God's instructions, that he's given us today for the New Testament body of Christ, are we not also seen as rebellious and rejecting the king and rejecting his commandments? Yeah, absolutely. Now on garments, let's talk about this. Paul talked about not defiling our temple or God will destroy us. 1 Corinthians 3:17. Now look at the Greek there, corrupt. And can we corrupt our temple with ungodly clothing? Absolutely we can. Go read about all of the stories of the harlots and their improper attire that God hates. And we know that a harlot's heart is shown by her clothing. Is that not true? No pure and chaste woman wears harlot clothing. Interesting. You're seeing something here, I hope. The Bible also speaks about our faith life as a spiritual garment or robe. So we have the outside covering. We have the spiritual covering. Jesus said in Revelation 3, verse 4, "Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy." Pretty interesting verse there. So we walk fit for heaven only when we're wrapped in what? Christ's perfect righteousness. We need that. Brother Jim teaches that. You can't get to heaven without that. This is not about works-based salvation. This is about walking in that righteousness and proof of new life that you need. Paul said this in Galatians 3:27, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." I like that. Like you put on a garment, a robe, a tunic. We put on Christ. We put on his righteousness. But what else does that mean? We put on his spirit in us, right? We put on his ways. We put on holiness. We put in obedience, right? We're called to do and to desire by his new spirit all holiness. This means we're obeying. Just like the man should have obeyed and put on the king's garment if that was the case. And this includes what we wear on our physical temple. And this is all just more proof and fruit that we are of him. And I teach a lot about outside clothing, Genesis 3:21, 1 Timothy 2. I've got a lot of articles at don'tperish.com and at the teaching blog. So rest assured, I know this story goes much deeper than outside clothing. That's not what I'm trying to deny here. It just implies, it mostly implies, you don't get into heaven, okay, on your own righteousness. You need Christ's because you've lived in the past a sinful, rebellious state. You need Jesus Christ. You can be called out, but then, how do you react? So you can be called, I should say, not called out. You can be called. But then how do you react? Do you repent? Do you come to that newness in Christ and you become born again, chosen child of God? This all entails your will. You must turn. And then you're transformed by the Spirit of God. Again, born again by faith and repentance. And this new heart, all of us true saints know, it changes everything. Christ in us by his Spirit changes everything, including both our spiritual garment, which becomes Christ, also our very outside garment. I have a question. What policeman, doctor, or soldier who decided on that profession shows up to do his duty not dressed, ready to do that job? Who would take him serious if he rebelled against that? His outside garment shows his inside faithfulness to do that job. Doesn't that make sense? It does. So with saints, it should be the same, but it should be greater, for this is eternal things. This is about our temple. This is about our faith in Christ. Clothing matters to our Heavenly Father. Inside clothing, spiritual clothing of Christ, and also our outside. One day, we get a robe. Revelation 7:14. And I said unto him, "Sir, thou knowest," and he said to me, "These are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Right? Isn't that awesome? Now, I always run into people. They're always discounting this truth on garments, whether it's that spiritual garment we need or obedience and holiness, which is the outside garment. But if a heart is truly changed and you're ready to meet the King, sit at his table, go to heaven, all your actions change. including how you clothe yourself with righteousness of Christ. Also how you clothe your outside temple, knowing that God has commanded this of us. It's just more fruit that we belong at His table in His house, that we're children of God. This is very simple to me, but yet people rebel against it all the time. It just struck me, going back to those people as we stood there preaching, calling out to them, asking them to come to repentance. They went by mocking God's truth, laughing, very wicked people, looking very carnal, very worldly, in their harlotry, even their teachers and their lady pastors and their worship leaders, all called to go do the so-called holy service of God. They are indeed like that sad man at the wedding, Matthew 22. They're not ready to enter in. Most of them not born again by their fruit. That man expected to go in, to get by as he was, without any special garment. But he needs Christ. He needs that new heart. And the fruit of that is holiness and obedience, which overcomes everything from the inside to the outside of your life. So it will not be so. He could not just go along to get along. Like that man, these religious people are invited to come to the king. They're invited to come in. But if they go and they do their own man-made religion, they do their own false ways. Jesus said to worship God in false ways, you worship Him in vain, Mark 7. If they go unchanged and not obedient and not ready, not born of Christ, with fruit of obedience, they're not ready for that royal event. They will be found out and they will be cast out. And what I see all the time is people in great pride. They tell me all the time they can get by just as they are, without total transformation, without stripping down all pride and vanity, without full obedience to every commandment of God, as if total obedience and holiness to the King is not part of us being His adopted child. Isn't that crazy? Of course it should be part of that. They are sadly very wrong. Jesus will see them, that they're not His. And like earlier in Matthew 22, verse 7, let me read it to you. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed the murderers and burned up the city. Jesus is going to come with fire. And those who don't obey, those who have not been made ready by His righteousness inside and out through holiness and obedience, what's going to happen to them? 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 and 9. I quote this all the time. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Do you see a comparison there? I do. It's very clear what's going to happen. It's my hope that anyone listening, people that we come in contact with, that you're made new and you're made ready by the righteousness of Christ, His perfect righteousness inside you. Yes, we need it. Christ is our perfect garment, and it has a lot more to do with our clothing on the outside. I understand that. That's a small part of it, but I do see a correlation here. Ask yourself, are your garments, both your spiritual perfect covering and your temple garments for holiness and obedience, are they ready for the testing and the judgment of God to come someday? Would you be noticed as out of place at the wedding feast of God's true, obedient, holy, set apart, chaste, spotless saints? In Matthew 7, Jesus casts out people who, what? Workers of iniquity. They lived in sin. To know Jesus is to not live in any willful sin, to flee all sin. Jesus also said this in John 15, 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done. You must abide in Jesus. What is abiding in Jesus? Abiding in His Word. That means keeping His Word, knowing His Word, living His Word, walking in all of His ways. Abiding in Christ is being changed and keeping His Word. People miss this. They think they can just abide in Jesus and do their own way. That's going against the king's way. Like the guest who maybe didn't wear the garment the king thought he should. He gets tossed out. I know. It's mostly about Christ's righteousness as our perfect garment. But I'm seeing a correlation here as well. Holiness and obedience inside to outside. Very important. Don't be like the wedding guest and these man-made religious folks that we encounter whenever we go out. Don't go unchanged. Don't live in willful sin. Don't rebel against the king's ways, inside garments, outside garments. Don't be cast into outer darkness. Walk in the light, in His Spirit, in His righteousness. Be made new, be transformed. Keeping His Word, living it fully on the outside as well. Then you'll be seen as you belong at the king's table. Doesn't that make sense? The Bible is clear. Those who keep willful sin have no covering for their sin. This is something for us all to consider. I always learn something when I go out preaching at these places, out in the street, at religious places. I hope this has edified you today. This parable, I've read it many times, and yes, I see it's all about Christ's perfect righteousness for us. That's the main part of it. But I also see a tweaking of it. Something more for us to grab onto is if we have that perfect righteousness and His robe covering us and we've been transformed and made new, doesn't it call us to obey in all things? And wouldn't we clothe our temple biblically as well and not walk in harlotry and worldliness? I think so. Be wrapped in the perfect robe of Christ's righteousness. This includes holiness and obedience. Inside and outside, and again I'll say it, then you belong at the feast. I'm going to leave you with this. I get tired of religious people telling me all the time, you don't have to do nothing. Jesus did everything. He did everything for us. Actually, Peter says they're liars. Jesus did all of His work. We have obedience and faithfulness to follow, don't we? 2 Peter 3:14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in Him of, that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless. Hey, without spot, that's like a pure white robe of righteousness. Yeah, we get that from Jesus Christ. We don't have perfect righteousness, but you know what? The fruit we have it and His Spirit in us is that we're obeying all His ways. That includes how we live, how we act, how we talk, who we associate with, how we preach the gospel, and how we clothe this glorious temple that God's given us until we're transformed for an eternal life to come. Hey, this has been Brother James. I hope that edifies you today. Go read that parable. See the perfect righteousness of Christ that you need. And then consider, how are you walking in all of the other ways He's called us to walk, including your outside garment that shows you have a transformed heart and you're ready for that feast that's coming. The feast is coming. Our bridegroom is coming. Will you be found ready? Hey, we love you all. Go to don'tperish.com. Go to the teaching blog. We're pouring out every day because we love God. We love our neighbors. We love our brothers and sisters. Articles, audios, videos, sisters, blogs to edify you in the Word, to lift you up, to get you thinking, to encourage you. Shoot us an email. Let us know how we can help you in the faith. Striving on the gospel road, preaching Christ crucified. Till next time, may God be praised.